This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we say thank you. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for the series that was started last week. We thank you for how you helped us. We thank you for the direction being charted. Thank you for how you are awakening our hearts, even in the understanding of the harvest, how you are equipping us and how you are helping us to be harvest ourselves and to co-labor with you to even bring in more harvest. Father, we pray that even as we go into today's teaching, we receive your help in the name of Jesus. Even for the listeners and even for me, the speaker, pray that you help us and cause us to be aligned even towards that which is in your heart. That you help us to bring forth everything that you have put in the heart of your set man and your handmaiden. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Vision of the harvest in the latter times. And last week was the introduction. This week we are going to lesson two. And the topic is the ultimate need, the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Taking our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4 to 6. Can we all read together? One, two, go. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Job 9:33. So neither is there any days man. This days man means like an intermediary, an intercessor, or somebody that stands between two people, betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. John chapter 3 from verse 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hated the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 17. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. For not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Lastly, Habakkuk 2:14 says that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. We believe that this is being done, and we are going to see the full manifestation of this scripture. We have three objectives this morning. The first is to show the helpless state of man and his need for the Lord and Savior. Second thing we want to look at, to show the dynamics and complexities of this world and how it keeps man in subjection. Lastly, we want to show Jesus' obedience and triumph, exalting him as the only help for man's deliverance. Introduction. Man's adversary, Satan, was created perfect in wisdom and full of beauty. Yet he corrupted his inward constitution through pride and much trafficking, until iniquity was found in him. He fell with his cohorts and was cast down into hell, a realm consistent with the nature now formed within him. Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 12 to 17. The son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Say, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Iniquity was found in thee. We had a little study on that last week when we said that, Genesis chapter 1, make mention of that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But we did not further see how heaven was populated. We only saw how the earth was populated. The verse 1 down showed us how God, formed, the stars, formed the sun, the moon, how he, separated waters from waters, waters above, waters beneath, called the firmament above, called it heaven, making us to see that even the earth had its own heaven, different from the heaven that was created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God called that heaven, is the heaven of the earth. Different from the heaven that housed angels. We did not see how that heaven was populated in the book of Genesis. But we later saw it in Job, when God was asking him that, were you there when the sons of God shouted for joy? And then, when Lucifer was created, he was created, as a perfect being. We could see all those things that they called his covering. The beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sardius, the topaz, all those things they said they were his covering. And, they said he was perfect in his ways. He was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Lucifer was created. He was created till iniquity was found in him. And because iniquity was found in him, his nature was no longer compatible with heaven. That's why we're saying last week that your nature must be compatible with your habitat. And because iniquity was found in him, he was no longer compatible with heaven. Even though he is a heavenly being, what he had embodied and become was no longer compatible with the reality of that realm. So I think 1 Peter chapter 2, or was it 2 Peter that was saying that God cast them, into hell. And that was where, they were. Even before God now had to come down to the earth and began to populate the earth. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This thing happened before Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. This reality of God casting down, Lucifer that had become the devil and casted him and his cohort into hell had happened before Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. before God came down to earth and began to populate the earth, when we saw the Spirit hovering upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. And then God went ahead to begin to separate light from darkness, do all the necessary things on earth before he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So man was not in the scene when God cast Lucifer and his cohorts down into hell. So after God had cast them down, God came to the earth and began to, you know, bring out substances of what he wanted to be on earth. And that was when, you know, we could see that Satan again went into the garden. When he went to the garden, he had already been cast down into hell. He had already been cast down into hell. And then he came to tempt man. You know, because when God created heaven and earth, God himself is incorruptible. What does that mean? Incorruptible means that no iota of corruption can touch God. It is impossible for corruption to have a hold on God, because God is holy. He's separated. He's higher than the realms of corruption. But we see that when God began to create his creation, because the only thing that cannot be corrupted is what comes out of his loins. Did we get that? The only thing that cannot be created is what comes out of his what? Of his loins. That which he gives birth to by himself. But when you look at the realm of creation, creation was made by his hands. So heaven and all the hosts in heaven, the earth and all the hosts in earth, were created by reason of his hands. So there was no way for him to pass incorruptible genes into what he created. That's why even in heaven, the highest of his creation could be corrupted. So the reason why Lucifer could be corrupted, that's why all angels in heaven, when God created them, they were fetching substance of life from God according to their order of creation. But that did not mean that they were immune against corruption. So immunity against corruption is only resident inside God. And what God wanted to do was that he wanted to pass that immunity into beings. But as long as these beings are created by his hands, there is no way for him to pass it to them. The only way of passing that immunity of incorruption into his beings is that he has to give birth to them. So, and creation, yes, there are sons of God that were created in heaven and earth, but that sonship is not the sonship of birth. It's a sonship of creation. It's a sonship by hand. It's a sonship that cannot tap into the realities inside God himself. So when you look at that man in the Garden of Eden, Adam, that was called the Son of God, it was possible for him to fall. It was possible for him to be tempted because he did not have the very genes, the very nature that is resident inside God. Why? Because God cannot be tempted. So any being that can be tempted has not yet inherited the genes inside God. Man was ordained to exercise dominion over the earth from its heaven, which is called the air. However, Adam forfeited his position to Satan and his cohorts through disobedience. By yielding to their influence, he relinquished his authority and dominion, granting them access to influence the course of the earth. We can see that, you know, Genesis 2:15, Luke 4, verse 6, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. So the heaven that God created for man, that man was placed to rule from, because that man, Adam, was not just only, you know, a man of the earth that could not access heaven. That's why his soul was made a little lower than the angels. So that heaven that God created for man was where Adam was ruling from. That was where God gave to man, to, because you cannot direct the course of the earth if you are not in somewhere higher. So Adam was placed in a position higher than the earth. Although it is also earth, but it is the heaven of the earth. So they called that place the air. So there was once a time that the air belonged to man. There was once a time that man was ruling from the air. There was once a time that entrance into the earth was not possible except man opened the door for you. And what happened, you know, I like that place, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For as by one man, sin did what? So this shows you that sin, even though Satan came to the Garden of Eden, sin was not in man's world. Because to enter is not just physical appearance. To enter is that you have the key to access the world of that man. So even though you could come to tempt, you did not have access into his heart. So the gatekeeper of the earth used to be man. The gatekeeper of the earth used to be man. Man used to be so strong enough that he could guard the whole earth. So by one man, sin entered into the world. So when Adam partook of that fruit, it was not just, he was eating into a nature, eating into a substance. As he was eating, doors were being opened. As Adam ate, something entered yet. Something entered the world of man. Something entered the world of man. See, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The person that created the earth designed a system called a world in it. So the software that ran the earth is called world. So Adam was not just on earth. He was running by a software called the world. And this world was made by God. So the reason why him as a living soul, the reason why he as a living soul could operate in that realm was because it was compatible to his soul. All of a sudden, sin entered that world. Sin entered that world. See, the problem of man is not money. The problem of man is not military incapacity. The problem of man is that something entered our world. You know, I was working in a place before, you know, and we, all of us, we suddenly got to office on Monday morning and we put on our server and the server was telling us this thing has been logged. You have to pay a certain amount before you can access your documents. So some hackers had entered and had locked our system. And we had turned what we was our own information. So we have to pay for it. Now, what used to belong to man that was rightfully given by God, another entered and hijacked it. So before you can have access to the earth, you have to go through another who is a rebel holder of authority. We had to wipe our systems clean. Everything we had to, because that's the only way. Except you want to start paying them. You have to start paying them. They call it ransomware. Ransomware. Man was held ransom by reason of another. What God could have done at that time was just to clear everything. Say, this thing has been corrupted. But God could still use the earth even like that, even though it is corrupted, until an antivirus could come. Every man that God worked with had sin in them before Jesus came. No, every man that God worked with, Abraham had sin in him. Enoch that was taken had sin in him. No man could delete that virus. There was nothing any man could do that could attack that thing. Now, when you ask a man, what do you need? Man doesn't know what he needs. So if I can just see $1 million now, I will be fine. If I can just leave the country and have a green card somewhere, I will be okay. When you are in the plane, sin is going with you. Sin can provide all those things. But does it make you free from sin? The problem of man is that sin entered. Sin did what? Entered. See, over time, they have shaped the earth and established a civilization contrary to God's original intent. Thus, sin, hell, and death have become the governing order that dominates the present world. Under this influence, both animate and inanimate aspects of creation have been subjected to propagate and reflect this fallen order. commonly referred to as the world. So Satan came and created his own world. That's why they call him the God of this world. There are kingdoms and glories of this world and also its lust within it that holds man bound and captivated. You can see 1 John 2, still love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Man is not exempt from this order, for he has been conditioned to carry this fallen system within him. He has participated in it, benefited from it, and transmitted its patterns across generations, though in varying measures and intensities. The adversity exercised dominion over man, leading him into a life of implicit servitude, expressed through his actions, inactions, thoughts, and speech. Thus, man became a born servant, yielding himself to diverse lusts and desires of the flesh and of the mind, which were propagated and reinforced by fallen spirits. So we can see that the air that used to belong to man has been taken over. Ephesians 2 chapter 2, you know, makes us to realize this. Ephesians 2, 2 to 3. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the what? Yes. It used to be there before. He was cast into hell before. According to 2 Peter 2, they said they cast him into hell. It's hell that they mentioned there. So how come the person cast down to hell, has now become the prince of the power of the air? So he hijacked man's realm from him. He stayed there and began to rule man. When you look at certain way man thinks now, it's not man that is thinking that way. Spirits have beat him down to think like an animal. Let's quickly look at the dynamics and complexity of the system of this world. 1 Corinthians 7:31. And they that use this world as not abusing it for the fashion of this world passeth away. The world is a complex system of ways that appear right unto man, presented as the path to earthly achievement, relevance, and accomplishment. Yet it is a perpetual cycle that ultimately leads to death, continually drawing man into the loss of his soul. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end is destruction, or the end thereof are the ways of death. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, you know, says that what shall it profit a man, you know, to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? You know, hence, the world is a system of gain for the soul. It's how the soul thinks it can gain. I know every soul likes gain, right? So we are constantly pursuing the world through deception, subtle disguise, and manipulative suggestion of evil spirits. Man becomes a willing servant and a lawful captive to the systems of this world. He naturally labors to engage with and submit to them, persuaded that he will gain profit. Yet he is driven by fear and held in bondage under its influence until death is fully wrought. Through fallen wisdom, this world has been crafted and intricately woven to keep man entangled and confined within it, though it presents itself as acceptable and widely embraced. Even a man who seeks freedom may become further ensnared in his attempts to break away from his hold. The world is designed to assume and project diverse expressions of righteousness. It generates replicas of every standard, mimicking what is true, while lacking its substance. Though it appears upright, it is a system that subtly works death within the soul. Thus, a man may remain under its influence, yet be deceived into thinking he is free from it. When you look at the world system that Satan created, you know, he designed that world to be compatible with the inward nature that man had fallen into, which is called flesh. Genesis 6 says that man also had become what? Flesh. So he designed a system that will perpetually keep flesh running. He designed a system that will perpetually keep flesh in bondage and continuous servitude. The system of the world, apart from the externalities of it, its power is in that which has been done inside a man. So, a man might not have external gains, so to speak, but his soul is still gaining. Why? Because it is the value system. When you look at what flesh values, your priorities, what you put as priority. Every man has values. Every man has priorities. Every man has principles. Even those that don't say I'm principled. Some people like to say I'm principled. But when you check that principle, it might just be principles of this world. Right? Every man has some level of principles. Some things that you don't joke with. For some people, it is the comfort of their body. For some people, it can be class. Some people, it can be acceptance. The desire for acceptance can make a flesh begin to attend church. Can make a flesh to join workforce. A man can do everything, but he's still flesh. So when they say that what is in the world is the lust of the flesh, is that man has been beaten down to flesh. Every desire that man has is called lust of the flesh. So even if you have noble desires, desire to give to the poor and the needy, is it not noble? But you can do that thing as a flesh. And when God is reckoning with you, he's still seeing that this man is a flesh. So the only response is not to do anything. Is that they should change you from flesh to spirit. The only thing that would deliver you from that thing called lust of the flesh is that you are no longer flesh. So as long as you are flesh, every other thing that you do is still flesh. Everything that you do, every relationship you have, everything that you do is still under the confines of flesh. You have not changed one bit. No, you can do something and your conscience can be justifying you. But it doesn't mean that you are justified before God. Because what justifies a man is not really, really what things he has started to do when his nature has not been changed. You know, it is even flesh that designed religion. Flesh designed religion. The way religion is packaged, that a man feels pious, he feels holy, he feels now God can accept me because I've done this, is still under the desires of the flesh. The Satan is wicked. He had designed the world in such a way that you will never find escape. How many of you know they call some things mazes? That you are inside it. Now say, find your way out. You will go like this. You are seeing that, oh, this is an exit. By the time you get there like this, it's an entrance into something else. And you can be in that maze. Until you have somebody that knows the way out, you will forever be in that maze. That's how every man on earth is. We are in the maze of the world system. And we are at different parts. The people that are extremely dangerous, people that are extremely sanctimonious. Everybody is still inside that. Because Satan is, you know, they call him anointed cherub that cover it. He can cover the whole earth. They say there is a way that cements right unto man. But the end are the ways of death. So he is diverse in ways. So you can choose your way. Choose your own way. But you are not escaping from his covering. Then why does man need a Lord and a Savior? Why? Man from the beginning was not designed for isolation or self-sufficiency. Rather, he was created as a dependent being, ordained to draw continually and remain vitally connected to his source, which was originally God. You can see that in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 23. It says, not in man to direct his own ways. Man's disconnection from God sets him on a course of destruction and inevitable perishing. In this state, he possesses no inherent power to rescue or deliver himself from the dominion of sin and the corruption it produces. The blood of a sinless man was the required price for atonement and redemption, a provision beyond the reach of all men, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The world system is so tight. You know, it's the matrix. You know, that system is so tight that you are going to work, you are going to school, you are marrying, you are giving in marriage, but that world is not real. It was never real. But somebody designed that world just to disconnect men from their reality. Hey, if a man continues with this world, he will just wake up on the other side and see that you have used 70 years for nothing. 80 years for nothing, because they presented a system so perfect and you gave your sweat and blood to it. You see a father on his dying bed. You say, my son, I could not achieve this in my life. Go and achieve that thing. And you will see a son, he will spend his entire life saying, I must do what my daddy has. That is his dying wish. That is his dying wish. Oh, and by the time he's done, he can spend 25 years. I wanted to be a lawyer, but I could not become it. As much as you can do it. By the time you are done, present it. I've made Papa proud. I've made Mama proud. I've made my people proud. But in the eyes of heaven, you have done nothing. In the eyes of heaven, you spend that 25 years in vanity. Nothing can be accrued to you in the world to come because of that. Because you have lived in a lie. They call it hell. They call it, they said, in lies we have hid ourselves. Under falsehood. Oh my God. The world is designed as a lie. It's designed as falsehood. That a man, from his waking moment to his sleeping moment, he will be busy. He will be busy. He will be going to work. Wake up as early as 4:30. And sleep as late as 11:30. Could repeat that cycle over and over and over again. And at the end of his life, when he's stepping out, he looks back and says, I have done nothing. I have done nothing. I have lived in vanity. You know what they call vanity? It's shining nonsense. Vanity is something that is shining, beautiful. It can keep your attention for hours, for months, for years. But by the time you place that thing on a value scale, there is no value for it in the realm of the spirit. That is vanity. And you see a man, he will labor all his life. This is why I'm born. This is my destiny. This is why God created me. And God is saying, no, you have been lied to. That is not why I made a man. You can be the best in your profession, but you are still in vanity. Is it bad to be the best? No, be the best. But you must know that this bed that I'm besting is not the best of God. Because in the midst of all that thing, nothing is able to quicken a man's spirit. They said the blood of a sinless man. No man could actually do it. Because the psalmist was saying, in sin was I conceived. So before you're even born, sin is already mixing with your genes. So how would you save yourself? Talk more of saving others. So every man's birth, they call it dead on arrival. Their salvation matrix is that there must be a sacrifice of a man that is sinless. So every man that is born, actually, my things is there, forget. Actually, this one is in sin. Every man on earth was like that. What God had been doing from Adam, tracing a line, that thing that they call genealogy, was that he was purging a lineage, and Satan did everything to corrupt that lineage. Everything he could do. But God was keeping a line that the Savior could come through. He was raising men at different intervals that could bear witness and testimony to he that is to come. Because there is a body that must come through them. That body must not be tainted by sin. Even though they had sin, they must have carried out a work in their soul. That it is reckoned in heaven that this body as it is coming is not carrying sin. So that is why it could not even come between a man and a woman. They had to look for Mary. They call her a woman in her lowly estate. They had to look for Mary. They could not allow Joseph. If it was between Joseph and Mary, they would not have given birth to a body that is not carrying sin. Because the person that supplies the gene is the father. The person that supplies the blood is the father. Because sperm is a blood. You don't know. Sperm that enters a woman to fertilize with the air, it is blood. Mary said that, how shall this thing be, knowing that I don't know a man?
I know in the realm of the heaven they'll be saying, you don't need to know a man. Because this agenda is not the agenda of knowing a man. It is the Holy Ghost. Said the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. Said the Spirit of the Highest shall come upon you. I said, and that holy thing, they call him holy thing, that shall be born within you. We needed that. That was the only escape route for man. Only escape. No, forget it. Do every good work you know how to do. Sin has not yet gone. There's no matter of good work you can do that can regenerate your human spirit. You need power to bring your spirit back to life. And the only power that can do that is when heaven is able to find the blood of a sinless man. And when the man dies, when they are raising him up, they are raising you together with him. So they must package the whole humanity into a man. They must carry the whole humanity and load him into a man. So when that man is dying, they made that man sin. So that when that man died, you died with him. And when he was being raised, you are being raised together with him. That's the only answer to sin. In time past, Israel, they experienced deliverers. Messiahs, they called them messiahs. Moses was a messiah. Look at how he migrated the whole of Israel from Egypt to the wilderness. Joshua was a messiah. From the wilderness to the promised land. Gideon was a messiah. Delivered them. He raised judges at different times. But they were delivering them from the oppression of physical people. Oppression of humans. But none of them could reach spirit, soul, and body. Nobody had that power. So their deliverance was temporary and their freedom was fleeting. Therefore, man required a savior to rescue and restore him from the consequences and ruin of sin. He needed an intervention that could reach and redeem his spirit, his soul, and body. Thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus. I just have this song in my spirit. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who'd have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Again, wonderful. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who'd have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
You are the one.
You are the one.
Jesus.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
He's unbringing praise. This that which bring praise. He's a bringing of praise. He's a praise unto God. Is a praise of the desire of God. Is a praise of the desire of heaven. Even to bring men out. Even to cause men to come out. To wholly bring men out. To bring bodies. To bring souls. To bring spirits out of prison. Out of that prison, that fallen one, even as concocted, even as built, even as arranged, and as ordained also by a fallen oath that men will forever dwell therein. But this my praise, my salvation, even the Messiah of my salvation, He brought salvation. Salvation out of that prison yard. Salvation out of that old. Salvation out of that prison. Even to turn again prisoners of hope. Even to the hope of salvation. Even you also. You ought to fulfill that praise. You ought to ratify that praise. Make the praise your own. Make it your own. You ought to make that praise your own by making salvation your own. Make it your curse. Come out of that curse. Come out of that prison. Come to Yeshua. Come to salvation. Turn to salvation. Because there is salvation. There is another court. It is called the court of salvation. You ought to transit. You ought to change court. You ought to change the dwelling place. You ought to change the place where you converse in. You ought to change conversation. You ought to come from prison even to salvation, for it is a praise. It is my praise. Come to my praise. Sing my high praise. Talk my high praise. Live in my high praise. Even the praise of my salvation. The praise of salvation. Come to salvation. See the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. A Lord is one who, through proven mastery, is equipped to command, instruct, and lead others out of ignorance into that same mastery. Therefore, man required one who will take hold of him, teach, and govern him into this reality. This is the pathway to true liberty from oppressive masters. During his earthly sojourn, Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father, refusing alignment with the systems of this world. In steadfast defiance of its ways, he gave the Father full pleasure by continually yielding to and abiding in him. He fulfilled every instruction of the Father without failure, standing firm where Adam fell. Though surrounded by many contradictions and tempted in all points, Jesus walked in triumph over sin and death, securing victory for humanity who had long been held in bondage. The prince of this world found nothing in him. Therefore, Christ obtained complete victory and brought judgment upon the world. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. See, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Then John 14:30. The hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. By this, Jesus destroyed all the works of the devil, expecting that his enemies are made his footstool. This establishes him as both Lord and Savior of the human race, as he now calls men to follow him, that they might partake in his triumph and walk in victory over sin and every opposing power when their obedience is perfected. The reign of Satan, his cohorts, and the system of this world will come to an end when many receive Jesus and follow in his example. In that day, the kingdoms of the earth will be brought under the lordship of Christ, who shall reign forever, and all things will ultimately be subjected unto God, that he may be all in all. So we can see that from what we were saying earlier, that the whole race of humanity was put in the Lord Jesus, you know, on the cross. And we died together with him. And then when he was being raised, we also quickened together with him. You know, when a man believes Jesus, when he believes in the lordship of Jesus, immediately his spirit man is quickened, right? But who they call a Lord and a Savior? You know, because you know what they did there was the blood of a sinless man was provided, quite all right, yes? And we were brought into the family of God. Your spirit was quickened. But even though your spirit man is quickened, which is a very huge miracle, do you know what they call harvest? They said he was at all points, what? Meaning that one thing Jesus had mastery of, he had mastery of how to overcome sin. Who is a Lord? A Lord is a master. A Lord is one that has mastery. So, sin can disguise in a million ways, but Jesus will not see fault for sin. I like that piece I said, in all points. So, at every step of the way in your journey, you arrive at different points. You arrive at different junctions. And the only way that you can overcome sin, because I think the scripture that was saying that God will not allow, you know, a man to be tempted beyond that which he can bear. See, but with it, he will do what? He will make a way of escape. That way of escape is what Jesus knew. Way of escape is what Jesus had access to. That when sin is coming in 99,000 ways, Jesus had a wisdom, an elevation to beat sin. So, as a master, he wants to make you a master too. As a Lord, he wants to make you a Lord too. Funny enough, he wants to make you a Savior. Because Savior shall arise. So, no, Lord and Savior is not that, oh, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who is like you? No man on earth and heaven is all like you. You are just in your position. Only you are there. Let me remain where I am. You can continue ruling. No, God wants also to make you a what? A Lord and a Savior. So, you need to be committed to the process that Jesus also walked through. So, Jesus is a master. When they bring some kind of fried rice, some kind of jollof rice, and then you know that this is your weakness. You know that there's no place I see fried rice and jollof rice that will be okay again. Even passing by your house, you are sensing it. You are saying, oh my God. You are already beginning to crave it. How I wish. You know, but one thing that they can do, a master. Because that's how sin comes. Sin comes in different aromas. What we call sin is actually a sweet aroma. Because it is enticing. What has the power to entice you is delicious to your taste bud. Why are certain people locked up in certain habits? Because at every point in time, it appeals to a pleasure. Give me my pleasure. I want to have pleasure. And then you find yourself in it over and over. Why? You are responding to a sweetness. But then there's a master that knows how to turn that pleasure into bitterness. That when you smell that thing, you will hate it. Hey, my mommy told me a story when she was young. She said when her mommy goes to the market and she buys all that she needs, she buys iru, locust beans, just to carry through the week. And because of the smell, you don't want to have a lot of it. Same time she goes to meet her mommy. And welcome, she will not collect anything. The only thing she's looking for is that iru, that locust beans, because she loved it.
That's the only thing she will collect. And she will just throw it in her mouth. And she will eat it. And she was doing that over and over and over and over again. And the mother said, ah, this way, I want to cook with you. You are eating it as I'm arriving. Her mom said, I will teach you a lesson. You know, she said the way her mommy taught her that lesson, that her mom now went to the market, bought everything. Now bought, we call it Kobio, is measuring. She bought a lot of it. As in, she now brought it home, as expected, collected. She said, ah, mommy, the local beauty bought today is much. She said, I just bought it. And she took what she would have done before, threw some in her mouth, and said, she said, no, I bought this thing for you. Yeah. Mommy, no, now. She said, no, this one, I bought it for you. Just sit down there and start to eat it. Ah. She said she ate. At some point, she was almost vomiting. She said, no, you will finish this thing. She said, after that experience, anywhere she smells that thing, she will run for her life. Because that thing was giving her a trauma that she almost vomits. I'll just use that to say that, you know, that's not how the Lord will deal with you. But the Lord can deal with you in such a way that when you smell that thing, you will hate it with passion. The reason why you are still doing certain things is because we like it. We are playing the victim. I don't have power. When they open your eyes and you see the evil of that thing, you will hate it with passion. And say, this thing, I will never come near you anymore. Power has come because there is a master in the house. Jesus is in the house today. Jesus is the master in the house today. He's able to deliver you and bring you out of your oppressions. You are receiving your freedom. You are receiving your freedom. Because Jesus has power over sin. He said, don't you know the Son of Man has power to forgive sins? Even while he was on earth, Jesus was forgiving sin. When Jesus told that woman, he said, go and sin no more. He was not advising her. He was giving her a verdict. From today, I make you free. Go and sin no more. Because Jesus is a master. So when a man receives Jesus as his Lord and Savior, there are still point upon point upon point that you must give yourself to in following the leadership, the lordship of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's able to at every point. You know, when you are traveling these days now, you meet roadblocks everywhere. Policemen. What Satan did, that every junction of your life, every point you will meet sin. When you say Jesus at every point was tempted, what do you think that is? You cannot escape it. Every point you turn to, even if you need a shortcut, you will see me that roadblock called sin. That wants to tempt you and strip you. But say Jesus has every point. Every point. From point A to point B to point C, even to point Z. Jesus walked it and he was without sin. Hey, even as a believer, you must know that you get to a certain junction in your life and you're like, oh, if it is to fashy this person, let me fashy this person. I don't know that sin talking. If it's for me to just do this, well, I don't have time for this. Well, I mean, I think I'm okay like this. But, and that is just sin. Finally, you have gotten to a point in your life. And sin, that thing is temptation. You don't see it as temptation because it's not fornication. It's not adultery. But you don't even know that how boring certain thoughts can be sin. Intention can be a sin. Before him that we have to do. Say everything is naked before him. What is he judging? Intentions of the heart. Secret things that no man can see. And at every point, the Lord Jesus wants to nip sin in the bud. The only way that Satan and his cohorts will fall from this air that they have taken over is when men, first of all, believe Jesus and then they begin to follow him by reason of the Holy Ghost, telling them like this, do this like this, don't respond like this. You are no longer of that order. Follow this way. Do charity. Do obedience. Because this master did not just take the realm of the air. This master was made higher than the heavens. Even the heavens of creation. So the mastery he wants to teach, you know, Apostle Paul was saying that when men strive for mastery, say they do it for a corruptible crown, things that pass away. Say, but we, what we are striving for is for an incorruptible crown. So if that mastery is what we are going to have, we must follow him that has acquired it. And he's not just calling us to be a good Christian, just try not to lie. No.
is a total overhaul, a change within, where you get to put off the old man and put on a new man. Second Peter was saying that having escaped the corruption that is in the world, what you have in this world is corruption. Every point they want to corrupt you. But the only way to escape the corruption that is in the world is that they must begin to deal with our lusts, our fleshly lusts, things that we are naturally affiliated to, that is not patterned according to the directions of the Son. Lastly, submitting and following after the Lord and Savior Jesus. It is important to know that good morals or being born into a Christian home do not set a man free from the grip of sin, hell, and death. Only believing in and receiving Jesus as one's Lord and Savior does. Thereafter, following in his footsteps brings progressive freedom and liberation from the workings and systems of sin within the soul. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." The fall and its consequences are not mere religious opinions, neither is eternal judgment an abstract concept. And salvation from these is found in no other but Jesus. He alone is the true and sufficient deliverer of the human race. Acts 4:12, you know, makes us to see that there is no other name under heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The deliverance and salvation found in Jesus are accessed when a man believes with his heart and confesses with his mouth the Lordship of Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead. At that moment, his spirit is made alive and is delivered from the dominion of Satan. Jesus thus becomes his new master and Lord. He is therefore no longer obliged to walk in obedience to the dictates of fallen spirits, nor live according to the course of this world. As he yields to Jesus, he is progressively disentangled and receives wisdom for the liberation of his soul. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "Say, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Can you see this in vanity of the mind? This is what drives the world. This is what drives the Gentilic world. And it's very possible that you have believed in Jesus, but your mind is not being renewed. You are still being driven by the vanity that the Gentile world is pursuing after. What is still motivating you, what is still driving you, is that you want to attain the very same things that the Gentiles are pursuing after, not knowing that there is an incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown is not gotten when a man dies. You get the incorruptible crown here. If a man dies here without incorruptible crown, he would appear there without incorruptible crown. So it's not magic that, oh, because you have died, you are now in heaven. Oh, great. No. Incorruptible crown is mastery. That's the desire of God's heart. That every believer will have mastery. You are a master. And then when Satan is coming, you know you can escape. You know when he's bringing things, you can remove yourself. You can detach. Say, no, no, I don't want to hear anything. Don't tell me this about my brother. I'm okay. It's fine. Don't bring this to me about my sister. Say, ah, and somebody is coming. Sincerely, genuinely, you don't know. You just fall into that trap. Say, may God have mercy on those that are worshiping him. Just fell for a trap of sin there. But there's mastery. You know when to remove yourself from a discussion. You know when to join a discussion. You know what to say, that by the words of your mouth, you are not entrapped. The only person that can teach you that is a master. And Jesus is that master. Just in case you are here and you are not born again. Just in case you are here, you're not giving your life to Jesus. You've been coming to church, or this is your first time here. The truth of the matter is that if a man dies without knowing Jesus, he will spend an eternity without God in torment and eternal regret. I want you to just bow your head for those watching as well and just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in the work that you have done for me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. From today henceforth, I take you as my master. I receive your help. I receive your spirit. I receive power to even walk in accordance to what you have for me. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Let's just thank God. Let's thank God this morning.
Can we sing this song? My Jesus, you are the light of the world. Jesus, you are the hope of creation. Jesus, more than others, you are. Oh, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Jesus, you are the hope of creation. Jesus, more than all this, you are. The Lord Jesus is here. Jesus. Do you know Jesus knows you by name? He knows you by name. When he saw Mary that morning, he called her by name. He knows you by name. Amen. I thank God for Jesus. I want us to know that Jesus is a project that was always going to be. It didn't come as an intervention. It was always the plan. In Matthew 1:17, it says there were 14 generations after Adam. From David to Joseph, 14 generations. So when Ultra, Genesis, Exodus, Jeremiah, everything, there was a plan. By the time they reached 14, they knew it was two more laps to go. The third 14, they appeared to a woman in Nazareth. Gabriel came. So Gabriel didn't come just because, oh, we don't know what to do. It means it was time. It means that the Father has been checking his clock. Throughout from the beginning, he has been checking his clock. How many of you also know that Adam was a trap for Satan? Because for the first time, Satan that has been roaming loose to and fro on the earth, he was trapped and made one with man. Then Jesus came and took on flesh. So Jesus is a project. The scripture says that when man was without strength, that means he came at when man was at his lowest peak. Because the people who are the oracles of God, that's Israel, they kept the law. You know, the law was handed by cherubim. They just used that law to manage that situation. Because sin has been troubling them in heaven as well. They gave them the law. The law managed to hold just the purging of the flesh and manage them. But by the time Jesus came, they were already two high priests. By the time Jesus came, Israelites that had the oracles of God were possessed with devils. Imagine what would have been in Tyre and Sidon and the Galilee of the Gentiles. It means there was free flow on the earth. And they appeared to a virgin. And Gabriel came with a message. And the thing is that we don't know that message. That gospelos, we don't know it. Because those angels, when they appeared to the shepherds, they said, glory be to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. We don't know what that will is. That will is in the gospel. And Jesus came. So how many of you know that Jesus didn't come as an intervention for sin? Man fell of the glory of God. They came to take us back to where Adam stopped. Then from there, the project continues. Because Adam was going somewhere. Hope you know Adam will still have met Jesus. If Adam continued in that program, he would have met Jesus. Because Jesus was prepared before the foundation of the world. Before Adam showed up, sin has troubled the heavens. From the third heavens. How many of you know that Sunday morning that Jesus woke up, the Bible says there was an angel where his head was. Another one where his feet was. That resurrection, Kenneth Hagin described that they wrapped Jesus' body with a serious cast. The cloth they wrap is a cast. It's not just any cloth. You can't remove a body from that place. That body removed from that place. And that morning, he told her, I'm going. Do you know what happened? Jesus took that blood. He didn't only purge the concerns of man. He purged the heavens. He's a savior to the angels as well. This man we are talking about is not an ordinary man. He's not just a prophet. He's more than a prophet. This man we are talking about You know, is God embodied? And you know, the scripture says, it says that we have one God and one mediator between who? Man and God. Who did they say? The Spirit. Who did they say? The what? The man. My brothers, when he appeared on the resurrection morning, he said, look at my body. A spirit hath not flesh and bones. A spirit does not eat bread and fish. Right now, beside the jasper light, beside the sardine stone, beyond the 24, beyond the four beasts, touch your flesh now. Touch your flesh. Say, there is a man that is sitting there. That man is our mediator. That man is your advocate. Job didn't have that man. Do you know why? Jesus appeared at the middle of all ages. Jesus appeared at the center timeline of all creation. So is the standard before? Is the standard after? The scripture says that Jesus went to preach to the spirits in prison. The gospel works in hell as well. So all the saints that walk by the righteousness of faith in their soul, they could not still ascend. Jesus had to come. It was when Jesus came, he took the keys of hell and death. Souls began to escape. The Bible said that morning, even some saints woke up from their grave and began to appear to many because of one man, Jesus. We have a representation at the highest courts. We have a representation. I feel like saying I swear, but we are not supposed to swear. There's no habit. There's no restriction. There's no past. There's nothing that man was not able to swallow. We have a representation. Pastor Praise told us he was tempted in all points as we are. Jesus knows what masturbation is. Jesus knows what hard substance and drug is. Jesus knows whatever your sin. Do you know what? There was a woman that was filled with seven devils. Seven devils. You know what one devil can do to someone? The one devil did to one boy. He throws him into fire. Throws him into water. This lady had seven. Do you know she was the first human being to see the resurrected Lord? What kind of work is that? From seven devils to seven spirits. What kind of work? Just by walking with a man. That man is the man. Shout his name. Jesus. Let me tell you, there are different classes of angels. Some of those angels, do you know what their name is? Their name is names. He says, that's their name. There was an angel that appeared to Manoah. He said, why do you want to know my name? Seeing that it is wonderful. They have names. But the scripture says, Jesus' name. Is Jesus' name an excellent name? You are wrong. It's not an excellent name. Because there are some angels that have names. Some have excellent names. How do we know? The Bible says that there was a spirit that was working with Daniel. Daniel did not have the spirit of excellence. He had what? An excellent spirit. But there's somebody that what he carried, and he's a man. How many of you, Jesus does not have wings? Jesus doesn't have wings. But there's a man that has flesh and bones. That man, the Bible says, for the first time, out of the loins of God, God just has one seed though. This is the first time. The Bible says in Timothy, it says that great is the mystery of godliness. It says, for God was manifest in the flesh for the first time. Gabriel, they've been seeing a jasper light, a sardine stone. They've been seeing different kind of manifestation and thunder and everything. And for the first time, something appeared from that smoke screen. And they saw somebody with flesh and blood. They watched him from the beginning, made under a woman, obeying a woman, doing carpentry, rocking about, living a normal life. He didn't even go to the wilderness like John the Baptist. He didn't wear camel skin. Jesus went to kindergarten class. He played on the streets of Jerusalem. And they saw the seed of God walking among men. Walking among men. At every point, overcoming. That he himself, he didn't even know he was that. He said he didn't know he was even the Son of God till he came to a place. and began to know about his father's business. And he grew to a point that he came and God said, for the first time, God doesn't talk too much. He doesn't talk, but for the first time made a declaration and said, thy throne, O God. That is the man, Jesus. You know, I just want us to know that this is the good news. The good news is good. There are many things in that good news that we don't know yet about that is being opened up unto us. But I want us to be excited in our spirit. I want us to trust God concerning this season of the harvest. I want us to trust God concerning Jesus. My brethren, Jesus, he knows you by name. Oh, he called Mary. He said, Mary. Immediately he said it. Everything in her responded. Kenneth Hagin saw him. He said, he saw wells of living love. I'm telling you, there's absolutely nothing that can surprise Jesus. Because the scripture says, out of the darkness, he caused light to shine. You know, so this is a hope for us. I want you to know, you are a new creation. We are not preaching extreme new creation realities. No, you are a new creation. Your soul is being saved. But for your soul salvation, you must also have that hope that has been put in your spirit to know that it's possible. And you will finish it. I want us to wrap up with this song and I want us to sing it with purpose. My Jesus, you are the light of the world, Jesus. You are the hope of creation, Jesus. More than others, you are. Oh, Jesus. We have 1 minute. I want you to fellowship with Jesus. I want you to know we have a representation. We have a day's man. Jesus. More than others, you are. So you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.